Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman here with Ed Battagliano and Chris Woodward. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Folks, our Holy Land tour for 2024 is set. The dates, the itinerary, the cost, everything you need to know about our 2024 March trip to Israel, see the land of the Bible. If you want to go with us, check it out at twholyland.com, twholyland.com, twholyland.com is the website. Go to Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Jericho, Masada, go to Nazareth, the Sea of Galilee. You've been on that trip.
I have. I loved it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was
not our trip. You went with
the Israeli ministry of tourism.
A few years ago. I'm just saying you've seen the Holy Land.
Oh, it is. It's amazing. It's an amazing experience.
I got to tell you, as a graduate of Mississippi State University, I made several trips to Egypt. By that, I mean Egypt, Mississippi, which is near MSU. So I have been there.
Should you check out those pyramids?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, Chris, you want to announce your tour of Egypt, Mississippi?
Yes.
You can go ahead and do that right now if you'd like to.
Let me tell you.
What's your website?
It will blow your mind how vast Egypt, Mississippi is.
All right. So twholyland.com is the website. We're already having people sign up. We'll be full by September or August probably. There's a pent-up demand to go to Israel because I think, first of all, the baby boomer generation is retiring.
Right.
And this is on a bucket list for a lot of people. Secondly, they know that with Biden in charge, all our money's going to be gone pretty soon. And you don't want to have try to go to Israel when all your money's gone. Mm-hmm. Right. So I can thank Biden for pushing people toward our tour.
Hey.
And thirdly, in all seriousness, there's the COVID pandemic shut down Israel for 2 years.
Yeah.
And so there's 2 years there people couldn't go. And so now people are wanting to say, hey, you know, Israel's reopened. There's no COVID shot requirement or testing of any kind. And so it's bringing business back to usual for tourism in the Holy Land. All right, Chris, what's your first story?
Well, one of the topics we discussed from time to time on this here program is school choice, and that being the effort by many states now to essentially give parents and families their education tax dollars back and allow them to send their child to a school of that parent or family's choice. And we have another installment of this story today because Georgia State Representative Misha Maynor, who is a Democrat, is upset that there aren't more Democrats out there fighting for things like school choice. Speaking to various people in media, Representative Maynor had said, look, you know, Democrats take to the streets for all kinds of issues, but for some reason, nobody, Maynor says, cares about young black minds. And I have some audio here. It is clip 6.
My problem is, why is no one fighting for young black minds? Why isn't that one of the things that we're fighting for? And so to say that all these other issues are important, but a child living in poverty that's of color is at the bottom of your totem pole of priorities, that's a problem with the value system, if you ask me. I can only assume it's because poor black children are not their priority. Let's put it like that. So until the Democratic Party wants to put poor black children as a priority, then State Representative Misha Maynor will continue to vote against them when it comes to these educational needs.
This, I think, brings us back to the topic at the very beginning of the program, that being President Biden telling a room full of black people that white supremacy is the greatest threat to the nation. I think today's Democrats, many of them, just want to keep things the same for our African-American neighbors so that way they can continue to say Republicans bad, Democrats good, continue to vote for us when we have decades of evidence showing Joe Biden hasn't done diddly squat for black people. And here she's saying we need to do more things for school choice, which Joe Biden himself is opposed to.
Chris, what's the difference between squat and diddly squat?
Thank you very much. Absolutely nothing.
If you could expound on that, please.
It means absolutely nothing.
Okay. Diddly squat is smaller version of squat.
Oh, okay.
So if you have less squat, you have diddly squat.
Diddly squat. Yeah. Okay, I got you.
It comes from a Latin word. I don't want to bore you guys with.
Yeah. You are from up north.
A Latin study of the word.
Yes,
squat.
A Latin,
diddly squat.
I did a word study.
And diddly.
Yeah, and so I don't want to bore our listeners with all that.
So what's your point here? What's the point of this story?
I think the reason why Democrats don't do anything for school choice is because they want to keep things absolutely the same for
the
black
teachers'
people.
Unions, too.
That's what
they try to
I
get
think,
them to continue to vote Democrat.
Now, this was a black Democrat state
representative.
That's who we were hearing
Georgia.
From?
Yes.
Yes.
And I have shared the link on our Facebook page.
Okay. And so I think it's exactly right. Here's the problem for the Democratic Party. They put all their eggs into the public school basket, especially because of the teachers' unions and the other unions connected to the public school system. The problem is that the public school system in our country, by and large, I always want to make this point, with certain exceptions, is decaying, all right? Especially in big cities, it is collapsing. Under the weight of some incompetence, bloated budgets, where oftentimes the administrative portion of the state education system is eating up half the budget for schools. It is falling apart because more and more parents are wanting to pull their kids out of these schools because of woke teachings and transgender nonsense. And it is hemorrhaging money. It is falling far short in most states of meeting its goals for the number of teachers it needs, because teachers are under assault. Sometimes they are literally being assaulted in hallways, pepper sprayed for taking kids' phones away. I'm just tossing out what has happened in the news over the last few months. So they don't have enough teachers. And black people, by and large, want school choice because they want to have the funds, as this Georgia state black Democrat state leader in the legislature of Georgia, she is speaking on behalf of what a lot of people in the black community want. They want to be able to take their kids out of these failing schools and put them somewhere where they can learn, because everybody knows education is the way out of poverty. Even if you come from a broken home, if you can get your kids educated so that they can learn and they can succeed and they can go to college, they can extract themselves from poverty. But the Democratic Party is refusing to budge an inch, and I think you're going to see more leaders in the black community demand school choice so that the money that is spent on education goes with the parent, wherever the parent wants to send that kid. There. That wasn't diddly squat. That was squat.
You're right.
Thanks to the Latin
language.
All right. Sticking with education, we have this story airing today. Folks just heard it at the top of the hour if they were listening to AFR.
And they were.
We have talked about in recent weeks how every couple of years we get a finding from an entity with the federal government that looks into test scores. And one of the stories we had about 2 weeks ago involved scores for history and civics being on the decline and just trending in the complete wrong direction for middle schoolers and high schoolers when it comes to things like history and civics. Kids don't know really much of anything about the branches of government and various things that you guys were taught.
Now you're talking broadly and generally across the country.
Yes. Yes.
Compared to past generations.
Correct.
Is that right?
Yes. You guys probably had a better grasp of things like branches of government and Supreme Court and which one does this than kids today. Now, there is an organization out there called the American Legislative Exchange Council, and they have come up with model legislation that they're trying to get various state legislatures to pass, and it's the American Civics and History Act. And I talked to a guy involved with the legislation. His name is Andrew Handel at American Legislative Exchange Council, clip 8.
It was a response to the pandemic and, you know, this general lack of understanding, you know, among our nation's students, you know, the basic function of government, what are the three branches, you know, it's staggering how many students don't have a good understanding of this stuff. So so the model policy, you know, simply, you know, sets forth, you know, strong requirements for civics and history in middle and high school. It mandates that those courses be taken. It requires that students take a civics test, you know, the same that we expect of immigrants coming to this country who want to become full U.S. citizens, you know, and we've also got some academic transparency provisions in there as well to make sure that, you know, teachers are teaching the right stuff and parents are, you know, fully apprised of what's being taught to their kids.
In case you guys didn't catch that, one of the things that the American Civics and History Act calls for is for kids in middle school and high school to have to take the same test that an immigrant has to take to become a U.S. citizen here, which is something I've heard a lot of people talk about over the years. Several years ago, Craig Ferguson, when he was host of the then Late Show on CBS, he was from Scotland. He was born in Scotland, but he was taking the test to become a U.S. citizen. And Craig joked, this was like 20 years ago, he told the opening audience there at the beginning of the show, he said, listen, if you guys had to take the test I'm having to take, Canada would be building a wall right now. And I've always remembered that whenever I hear something about the test that immigrants have to take here.
That's not an easy test.
No.
You know, it would be interesting sometime for you to come to the show with a sample of those questions.
I can do that.
Because I think a lot of our listeners would go,
what if an attorney general of a state, mm-hmm. like what happened with the Florida AG,
okay.
went to court and said, before Biden releases all these millions of people into the country, they need to have a civics test, like all other immigrants. What would that hold up?
Probably not.
Right. Why?
We live in a very litigious society where you can sue over almost anything. I'm sure somebody will say it's unfair or racist or
now,
something.
Now, the difference, I was being half facetious there, but the difference is you're applying for citizenship. Mm-hmm. That's when the test comes in, right?
Correct.
These people coming over the border are just saying, applying for asylum. They're not asking for citizenship per se, mm-hmm. right? All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of this show. I'm Tim with Ed and Chris. We thank you for listening. If you want to send us an email, it's comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. Next story, Chris.
All right. 25 governors sent out a letter on Friday to the Secretary of Education, Miguel Cardona, telling him that these governors are opposed to the Biden administration's, quote, radical new Title IX rules, which would force states to allow biological males to compete in women's sports. Various governors, including Tate Reeves of Mississippi, Mike Dunleavy of Alaska.
25
Brian
governors?
Kemp, yeah, half the governors.
Any Democrat governors on that list?
No, they're all Republican. They're all Republican.
I'm a little surprised. I would think governors of red states like Kentucky would the governor there would in Louisiana would also sign with something like that. I mean,
they should listen. Democrats are the reason we have
that. Listen, this could be a losing issue for Democrats in the 2024 election cycle. There are all kinds of issues when people, you know, vote for their congressman or the senator or the president. It isn't always just one issue. Mm-hmm. And I think this issue will be a top five, probably, issue. Certainly top 10 issue. That is the question of whether it's fair for males to compete against females in sports just because they say they're a female. Mm-hmm. Is that fair? And I think the polls show that the vast majority of Americans don't think that's fair. I don't know the vast, but 70.
Majority.
70.
I have sound to your point. If you
okay,
to do that.
Because I think you see even people who are Democrats and liberals, mm-hmm. when it comes to that question, they say, no, it's not fair, and I'm not for that. You have something on that?
Yeah, we do have some sound to your point about the majority of Americans being opposed to this kind of thing. It is what you're going to hear now, listeners, is attorney Christiana Kiefer of Alliance Defending Freedom, an organization that's in court right now fighting for female athletes' Title IX rights. And Christiana told AFN that a majority of Americans do oppose males and women's sports. Clip 7.
The vast majority of the American public agrees that this is unfair to force female athletes to compete against biological males. So it's really important for concerned parents and athletes and coaches to use their voice to advocate for a return to fairness and safety.
Well, I'm glad to hear that a vast majority of people think this is unfair, because we would really have slid over the edge into insanity if it was flipped. Mm-hmm. If people thought, no, it's absolutely fair for, you know, male, biological males who claim to be female to be in a MMA fight or a, you know, in a tennis match or any of those kind of things where women can be overpowered, swimming,
yeah,
those kind of things, where women can be overpowered and their opportunities restricted because they are no longer able to succeed against other biological females because they've got to get through a biological male on the way to a championship or some sort of award where it might result in a college scholarship or an endorsement deal, mm-hmm, all those kinds of things.
Just to review for a moment, so people understand what Title IX is and what these governors are objecting to. These 25 governors, mm-hmm, are they filed a lawsuit or they just sent a letter?
They've sent a letter, but I'm sure someone will try to sue over this.
So here's what happened. Title IX is a federal government program. Mm-hmm. It's to promote women athletics.
Yes.
And to ensure that women's athletic programs are treated on the same level as male, mm-hmm, athletic programs.
From the 70s.
Yes. Now, in terms of scholarships, I'm getting a little off track here, but just to explain something. In terms of scholarships, colleges and universities have to demonstrate that they're being fair to women's sports compared to male sports, mm-hmm, with the exception of football, in terms of scholarships.
Right.
Because football is 70, 80 scholarships, there's no sport in women's athletics that is comparable to that. Okay? So they set that aside.
Right.
And they say, let's just compare all the other sports and make sure that women's sports is equally as funded and supported as male sports. Mm-hmm. So correct me if I'm wrong here, but Biden is saying, if you don't allow these transgendered people to compete against women, mm-hmm, even though they're males, then we're going to punish you by taking away the money that you use to promote that federal money that comes in to promote those athletic
programs.
That's
correct.
Well, have I got the essence of that right? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, and it's very interesting and revealing the changes in language that the Biden administration wants to bring. Now, Title IX was a part of the education amendments in, I think, in the early 70s, 1972. Mm-hmm. So what Title IX originally and by language intended to do is prevent discrimination on the basis of sex. I just went to the Department of Education. They want to change that kind of language to this.
Biden's Department
administration,
of
yes. Non-discrimination, Title IX's non-discrimination requirement serves to ensure that all students have equal opportunity to enjoy the benefits of team sports participation. Mm-hmm. No longer is the emphasis on sex, which was meant, as you said, Tim, to protect women and young women, girls who want to participate in sports. Now they want to say all students, which means we're not really talking about sex anymore. We're talking about what students believe themselves
gender
to be.
Gender identity.
Yes, their gender identity.
Yeah.
And that's insidious.
I mean, there's
that kind of of twisting of the original intent of the law, that should be something that has to go through Congress. Mm-hmm. I don't think the administration has the right to change the law that Congress passed to warp it in a way that actually hurts girls and women.
Let me just say, too, just as a general observation, I'm really proud to see a lot of these governors taking action and speaking up and fighting back against this Biden liberal wackiness.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right. And also a lot of the state attorney generals, as we saw in Florida, same thing. There's a lot of people aren't just taking this sitting down. And these red state governors, they're winning a lot, too.
And not all of them are white males. There are female attorneys general that are challenging Biden over all kinds of things here. So it's not just dudes.
You got some against white males?
Sexist. No, that's Chris? The comeback that the Biden administration will have. Mr. White supremacy is the threat to everything. I will share this quote from Governor Tate Reeves. He sent out a press release.
Mississippi Governor.
Yes, Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves. And he sent out a quote saying, "It is outrageous and fundamentally unfair that the Biden administration would force hardworking female athletes like my three daughters to compete against biological males. In their desperate commitment to a radical gender ideology, some politicians are willfully blind to the profound negative impact that is being exacted on female athletes who for 50 years have fought so hard for their positions in sports. We will continue fighting to protect fairness in women's sports."
Amen. And 25 governors across the country have said the same thing, basically. Now,
yes.
I will say this, too, and Walker Wildman, my son, he makes this observation. A lot of attention is paid to federal elections, like the presidential. And don't misunderstand, that is very, very, very important,
sure,
whoever the president is, or whoever our House members are, Senate, or who's ever in the Senate. But sometimes we pay too little attention to governor's races and state legislatures. I mean that's where city councils, I mean, mm-hmm, school boards.
Right.
I mean, district attorneys, district, prosecutors.
Yes, yes. Lieutenant governors. I mean, all these, I'm saying these state races,
mm-hmm,
are just as important in terms of policy.
Right.
And the rules and laws which we live under. So now I would say this, the Democrat Party on a national level, their goal is to subvert the authority of states. They want everything centralized in Washington, D.C. That's why they're at war with these Republican governors.
Sure.
And so the quote progressives, they don't really believe in – they. If it were up to them, they would do away with states' rights, mm-hmm, so to speak,
right. Oh, yeah.
or state – and they would centralize everything in Washington, D.C.
Today's story, this topic, and the things that, with healthcare, you know, you must get shots or we're going to take away all your funding for Medicare,
right,
and Medicaid,
right,
things like, is precisely why we should never have let the federal government get involved in controlling things it was not called to do in the Constitution.
Yeah, the left, the progressives, they despise the Constitution.
They do.
Yeah.
Because it's a limit on government power.
Yep. So... Well, folks, thank you for joining us on this Monday. I didn't ever mention what day it was. What day is it?
May 15th.
It's May 15th.
We are halfway through May.
You want to guess the year?
2023.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got both of them right.
I
May
did.
15th and 2023.
Well, it's all that Latin education I had growing up.
All right. All right. May you have a day filled with less than diddly squat.